If I ask you one of these riddles, I think it's called riddle in English, means that is white inside and is blue in, and is green outside and all these things, you know, it's a type of fruit that you have to think, okay, is an orange? No, orange is not green, it must be a pear. So, but once you know it, automatically you know the solution of it. So in the same way, it's like a big, big puzzle, like problem, mathematical problem, and when you have to resolve it, then automatically, okay, now it's easy. But you need to know the solution first, otherwise it's not, it's very difficult. So in the same way, with the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras, once you know the absolute truth for certain, you just convince, you just experience it, and then you have access to the devotional scriptures, then you can actually read that and understand, okay, mainly they're talking about Brahma, which is the spiritual functions of Krishna. Of course, you can have also devotional readings, you know. But it is actually complete, and it is concealed, actually. It is open for everyone, but the way it has been revealed through the centuries, it's such a way that you need to endeavor, and you need to really be eager to know, you know, because even if it's given, like one of the offenses is to please to the faithless, you know. So all this knowledge is given, but you cannot give it because they make offenses, you know. Like sometimes you go on the books and people don't believe that this is the highest thing, you know. And then they say, well, if it were the highest thing, then everyone would be doing that. Why are there so many religions, you know? And why your religion is better than other religions, you know? So you have to surpass all these kind of filters that are there, you know. I remember when I met the devotees, I was thinking, I was trying to kind of by a process of elimination, you know. I was going to different mosques in London, different Christian churches, reading about yoga, I had read about Buddhism. So I was kind of eliminating this and that. So, and I was thinking, well, if I was born in a family which is not Vaishnava, right? It's a Christian family from this country or whatever. But it's still, it's okay, if there is something better, why not taking it, you know? And then, but you go and distribute, some people say, well, I was in a Christian family, I don't have to change this and that. But that is an attachment, it's a mental body that you have there, you are attached to this, but actually, it is not intelligent not to switch if you have a better, you know, if you are driving, and then you get a better car to drive, better commodities, better comfort, better security, you know. So why not to take it in the same way? So, I don't know if I came up here, but basically the idea is that the Vedas provide the answer of all the questions of life in a simple way and in harmony with life, with society, with nature, with the universe. There is one concept, I don't know if you know, it's called Rita. Rita is the cosmic order. So the Vedas, mainly, they were this tradition called the Karma Mimamsa, that Prabhupada explains. Karma Mimamsa is that you perform sacrifices and then you expect the result. And then there is the theistic a little bit. But all this is good, the six darshans at the beginning were very, very much, you can say, non-theistic. But later, let's say, at the beginning, before Christ, like 6 centuries before Christ, 2 centuries, depending on the schools, the Nyaya, Karma Mimamsa, all of these schools, were mainly, you can say, non-theistic. But along the centuries, they gradually influence, for example, this Nyaya school, it is just logic, you know, where they use different statements, and they deduct, and they do syllogisms, they try to reach the truth through logic, you know, through manipulating, constructing different arguments, and this and that, by different methods. And especially these ones are very easily changed to devotion, to theistic sciences, they develop into more and more God conscious, especially in the 11th century, like that. So become very around that age. You can see they become this, they become more God. They actually, Nyaya are defending God, the existence of God. There was one scholar of Nyaya called Upayana in the 11th century, that he was actually trying to prove the existence of God through Nyaya. So all these schools of the Sadarshans, they evolved those days. So I was trying to explain about the canon in Manchima, right? I was trying to say that they perform the sacrifices in order to get the result. One side you're saying that in the American dream, people they are very materialistic driven, you know, because they want to attain material desires in some way. And Prabhupada was, is that what you're saying?
It's more philosophy. It's such a, that even the people that are poor, they still believe this philosophy, that if I just work hard enough, I'm going to make it, I'm going to be successful. And this is kind of what Krishna is preaching to So therefore, it is so, for me, at least personally, very tricky philosophy and hard to kind of defeat this philosophy. So I was just wondering, you seem to be defeating it right now. If you can put a little bit more effort into it, so you can help me with my doubts.
Okay, so what you're asking is how to defeat the Karmaya Mansa or similar kind of philosophy.
Specifically pointed towards the American dream philosophy, which I think is very much related to Karmaya Mansa philosophy.
Yeah. That you are the doer, basically, you know? And you can say there are five factors of actions, and you are not the only one. You are, Peter's describing, and it's the soul, the super soul, the senses, the body, and the endeavor. So, is the super soul less than sanctioned because it's not your destiny? That doesn't matter what you do, that you don't want to be successful. Like, even Prabhupada also, he thought, I'm going to become very rich, you know, and then because I have so many business points, you know, through India and expand and go through everywhere and become like a magnet. But then it didn't work out like that. I became very poor and had no money, went to America, had that. So you can see that there is this type of nitrina, there's a Krishna, there's a control, there's a divine providence, and you have to accept it. Even if your mind is like elucubrates, you know, and try to. Next moment, everything changes because you are not in charge. It's a superior force, you know, to start. It's a superior force, you have to act it. Because you can say, okay, can you control what's going to happen in 5 minutes? You can't. but to speak like this, you know Sukumaru? What happened? Eh?
Yeah, I love
she's in the yes, yeah, she's having an operation today, and I must know what's saying what's not to be told to me the guy that was is an Avila. He was saying to me, I think she somebody said to me, it's gonna leave the body. You know, yeah. He was, yeah, because I had a fantastic luckily later some liver available, apparently it was going to be okay. But at any moment, you have absolutely, it's very clear, we don't have control, you know. Why is people dying untimely, or why is things not happening? Like, I was taking charge, I was thinking, just imagine there is an invite, because it was a big noise. And I thought, what happened? And I started thinking, just imagine there is a war, you know. Like Muslim invasion, something like that. They take control over the sky and stuff. It can happen. It happened in 1936 in Spain, 39 in Europe. And it's like, that's a fact, you know? Mm-hmm. So we are at the expense of other superior forces that we are under control. So that's why the computer is described. And like this Kamai Matsan is describing, actually, that if you are actually worshipping all these demigods, like the Vedas, they mainly deal with Indra, Surya, and other similar demigods that they provide different resources. About that, I would also describe, you know, to worship Shiva, you know, the good wife, and Sarasvati, you know, it's like that. So different gods. But it's up to the gods, and it's up to Krishna that is giving you this knowledge also. So it's true that they quickly. It's true that they quickly give the results if you worship them, in that sense. So it's a bit tricky because you can say yes, like in the Gaura Lila, we perform the sacrifice. You know, we perform the sacrifice to Indra, and Indra is giving us this rain, you know, because of rain and wrath. Then we have this products of the, you know, in that sense, you can say yes. Actually, it is. You know, we can be. We don't need God because we perform a sacrifice to Indra, because we do it, and he's so nice. We follow the process, and we're gonna get the. It's like if you work for a company, you know, you're gonna get the result. It's something like that. You do some process, and then the process provides what you want. So in that sense, you are actually in control. You know. So it's like a. A bit tricky to which way you see, look at it, you know. You know what I mean? That you're gonna get the result, but it's up to Krishna. And like even the notion of science, you whatever you do, still, you have the 2 inches, you know, or the just sort of rope, you know. Okay, you do sadhana bhakti, but it's up to Krishna to give it to you. So in the same way, you know, you perform the. From the sacrifice to Indra, but it's up to Indra to give it to me. But Krishna doesn't want the whole sacrifice to spoil, so the spoiler means that Krishna is actually the whole city.
No, I like what you're saying also about superior power, because it's more related to like normal people, like you say, what did you say? It's 5 factors, right?
Yeah, it's in the Bhagavad Gita, you can check. It's
right.
The soul, the super soul, the body, the senses, and the endeavor.
Huh?
The endeavor. Like you can say, okay, I endeavor, yeah. You know, and I get a result. No, because the super soul is checking there. So.
Yeah, the thing I want to answer, because you talk about Indra, what is confusing me is that Krishna is preaching against Nanda Maharaj. No, don't worship Indra, and then he's preaching Karma Marx philosophy. Remember?
Yeah, we don't.
But the thing is that he is saying you just worship the land, and the tricky part is that, of course, Govardhan is not different from Krishna. No, but that's not really the point. The point is that he is there preaching for this discussion. That's not really the point. He is actually preaching there Karma Moksha philosophy against worshiping Indra.
Yeah.
And so that for me, that is where it got a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Confusing.
Krishna is so expert in animals.
Yeah.
So he's able to study things in such a way that may be because first he's actually right, apparently he starts the argument by saying that yes, karma mimamsa, but then he switches to the opposite, right? He says, no, no, you shouldn't do that, you should be a person.
Yeah.
So
I was at a discussion actually with Jayadvaita Maharaj where I was defending Lord Krishna. I was saying it's not really karma mimamsa. Because if you look at the Sanskrit here, you know, anyway, but it is definitely a very important, I think, to study that.
To
study that argument that Krishna gives, I think it is a very important part of our, well, not of our philosophy, but of the philosophy of the world. You know, because this is the American dream, and everybody follows the American dream, you know, or tries to follow. And all India is trying to do that. So everybody believes in this.
Yeah, I think the first argument goes that, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think it goes that because Krishna is trying to avoid the worship of Indra, right? So first he said, you shouldn't worship Indra because if you do, okay,
maybe you can just repeat one more time why it's not working, because I think you made a very good explanation. The karma is why it's not working.
Why is it not working? Well, it's actually working, but you just using the realm of karma. Yes, you get your material as well, so then you have to take that thing. And they believe in the Veda, these Kamala Mansa people, they defend the Vedas, and Mimamsakas, you know. They actually think the universe, the cosmos, is the all in all, there is nothing else, and it's eternal. So it's not that everyone is thinking like us, like we're saying that the knowledge of the Vedas, you know, is the highest thing, but if you go to that tradition, you know, and they were saying that, you know, the Rita, the concept of Rita, is Rita with the air and the Lord, Rita, they saying that they had to perform these sacrifices to the gods in order to maintain this cosmic order, Rita. Because if they don't do it, then automatically the whole cosmos will fall into degradation and to chaos, and the Asuric forces will govern. So they have to do the sacrifices to the gods so that everything is in order. So, but they believe that, that the universe is the only thing that there is, and then it's eternal, and there is no transcendence. Thank you. What is this?